Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the Fort from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact this show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, the origin of Christmas. Christmas seems like a joyful time of the year, especially if you are able to observe it with gifts, feasts, spirits, and laughter. It is said to be a celebration of the birth of Yahshua ben Yosef, a.k.a. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. how did December 25th become known as the day of the birth of Jesus? Christianity and Catholicism are founded on the belief that Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the one God. Jesus was crucified on a cross or tree for the sin of man. Henceforth, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that is a reason for celebration. WhyChristmas.com says, the first recorded date of Christmas being celebrated on December 25th was in 336, during the time of the Roman Emperor Constantine. He was the first Christian Roman emperor. A few years later, Pope Julius I officially declared that the birth of Jesus be celebrated on the 25th of December. There is no evidence that Jesus was not born on the born on the 25th of December. That raises the question, why is the birth of Jesus observed on December 25th? So, Provocative Thought wants to say, today's Christian celebration may be an expression of a person's observance, connection, and appreciation of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The tree representing the wooden cross, the gifts the three wise men brought to Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus. The 25th of December is simply a day agreed upon or an old custom to celebrate the birth of Jesus. No harm, no foul. Maybe there is no conscious connection of Christmas to ancient pagan religious practices. If there is a connection or origin from so-called pagan religious rituals, has the celebration evolved into something similar but different than its pagan predecessor? We're going to go back to whychristmas.com. A very early Christian tradition said that the day Mary was told that she would have a very special baby, Jesus, called the Annunciation, was on March 25th, and it's still celebrated today on the 25th of March. 9 months after the 25th of March is the 25th of December. March 25th was also the day some early Christians thought the world had been made, and also the day that Jesus died on when he was an adult. The date of March 25th was chosen because people had calculated that was the day of which Jesus died as an adult, the 14th of Nisan in the Jewish calendar, and they thought that Jesus was born and had died on the same day of the year. Some people also think that December 25th might have also been chosen because the winter solstice and the ancient pagan Roman midwinter festivals called Saturnalia and Dies Natalis Solis Invicti, I hope I said that right, Invicti, took place in December around this date. So it was a time when people already celebrated things. Before we go any farther, we're going to talk about the word pagan. Oxford Dictionary says, pagan is a person holding religious beliefs other than those of the main world religions. Synonyms are heathens, infidel, idolaters, adulterers, and things like that. So the Pagan Federation International says the definition of a pagan is a follower of a theistic or pantheistic nature worshiping religion. Is a polytheistic or pantheistic nature worshiping religion. The pagan outlook can be seen as threefold. They revere or have great respect for nature and worship many deities, both goddesses and gods. The Christmas celebration has its root in paganism. The Pagan Federation International says paganism is the ancestral religion of the whole of humanity. SimpleToRemember.com, Judaism Online, provides us with a history of Christmas. When was Jesus born? And this thing right here gets complicated. And, everybody says he's born on December 25th, Common Era, C.E., right? But the New Testament gives no date or year for Jesus' birth. The earliest gospel, St. Mark, written about 65 C.E., Common Era, begins with the baptism of an adult Jesus. This suggests that the earliest Christians lacked interest and knowledge of Jesus' birthday. The year of Jesus' birth was determined by Dionysius Exiguus, a monk, abbot of a Roman monastery. In the Roman pre-Christian era years were counted from the founding of the city of Rome. Thus, 1 AUC certifies the year Rome was founded, 5 AUC signifies the fifth year of Rome's reign, etc. Dionysius received a tradition that the Roman Emperor Augustus reigned 43 years and was followed by the Emperor Tiberius. This thing goes, so Luke 3:1-23 indicates that when Jesus turned 30 years old, it was the 15th year of Tiberius' reign. If Jesus was 30 years old in Tiberius' reign, then he lived 15 years under Augustus, placing Jesus' birth Augustus' 28th year of reign. That's the guy's name, not August. Augustus took power in 727 AUC. Therefore, Dionysius put Jesus' birth in 754 AUC. However, Luke 1 places Jesus' birth in the days of Herod, and Herod died in 750 AUC, before the year in which Dionysius placed Jesus' birth. So there's some confusion there. We have a caller. Maybe you can shed some light on this issue. Hello, caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Oh, yeah. My pastor did an excellent job preaching on what you speak about, specifically about don't get caught up on the date. Catholicism started the Christian thing in this world. A lot of things are done under their administration before different churches started over the years. So point is that Jesus was born to a virgin. And we'll never know the real date because what God will want us to know, we won't know. So God will want us to know that. So that's why there is zero in there. So let's just do this date in, you know. But it's not mandatory that a person celebrate on the 25th. They can celebrate on the 22nd, long it's celebrated. And for the tree, yes, it was a pagan thing, but the trees were created by God and Jesus. So therefore, we took it back from them, and long we worship not the tree, but long we worship the Christ of the tree. And some people don't like to use a tree. Either or. People that have a tree is not wrong. People that don't have a tree is not wrong, because God made the tree, not the Romans. So that's my thought on that. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. I thank you for your insight.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so we're going to get into, we're going to speak about the tree and things like that further on into the show. So how did Christmas come to be celebrated on December the 25th from Hebrew roots? The rebirth of the sun, Wikipedia. The Saturnalia, which means sunstop, is the week-long pagan festival of the winter solstice, which began on December the 17th as the sun was seen to be rising further to the south and thought as dying. By December 25th, the ancient world solstice it could be recognized as being beginning to turn northward again and was said to be reborn and therefore proclaimed to be the birthday of the sun deity. So there you have a relationship between the 25th of December and the sun deity, the rebirth of the sun. So of all the known sun deities were born on December 25th. This includes Mithra, Krishna, Vishnu, Osiris, Horus, Hercules, Dionysus, Bacchus, Tammuz, Indra, Jesus Christ, Buddha, as well as the Scandinavian goddess, Aryan Sun, Origins of Religion, S.E. So that's from Aryan Sun Myth and the Origins of Religion. They say that. So Romans, pagans first introduced the holiday of Saturnalia, a week-long period of lawlessness celebrated between December 17th to December 25th. Roman law dictated that no one could be punished for damaging property or injuring people during the week-long celebration. There was a movie out about some kind of behavior like that, The Purge or something like that. The festival begins with Roman authorities choosing an enemy of the Roman people to represent the Lord of Misrule. Each Roman community selected a victim whom they forced to indulge in food and other physical pleasures throughout the week. At the festival's conclusion, December 25th, Roman authorities believed they were destroying the forces of darkness by brutally murdering this innocent man or woman. The ancient Greek writer, poet, and historian Lucian observed, he said of these customs, there were widespread intoxication, going from house to house while singing naked, rape and other sexual license, and consuming human-shaped biscuits, still producing some English and most German bakeries during the Christmas season. You might be familiar with hot cross buns. I think they got stories, they have songs about that. So in the 4th century CE, Christianity imported the Saturnalia festival, hoping to take the pagan masses in with it. Christian leaders succeeded in converting to Christianity large numbers of pagans by promising them that continue to celebrate the Saturnalia as Christians. The problem was that there was nothing Christian about Saturnalia. To remedy this, these Christian leaders named Saturnalia's in concluding day, December 25th, to be Jesus' birthday. That's just another theory on how that got to be associated with December the 25th. In return for ensuring massive observance of the anniversary of the Savior's birth by assigning it to this resonant date, the church, for its part, actually agreed to allow the holiday to be celebrated more or less the way it had always been. The earliest Christian holidays were celebrated by drinking, sexual indulgence, singing naked in the streets, which is a precursor of modern caroling. So it sounds like some of the more contemporary customs we see of celebrating Christians have origin in some early ancient pagan practices. Some of the most deprived countries of Saturnalia carnivals were intensely reviewed by the Catholic Church in 1446 when Pope Paul II, for the amusement of his Roman citizens, forced Jews to race naked through the streets of the city. The origin of Christmas customs, the Christmas tree. Just early, Christians recruited Roman pagans by associating Christmas with the Saturnalia. Again, the Asherah cult and its offshoots were recruited by the church sanctioning Christmas trees. Pagans had long worshipped trees in the forest or brought them into their homes and decorated them, and this observance was adopted and painted with a Christian veneer by the church. And you might be familiar with that. It's a Bible verse that speaks about that, those who deck the tree. But I'm going to go on and we'll get to that later. Why Christmas.com on customs. The evergreen fir tree has traditionally been used to celebrate winter festivals. For thousands of years, pagans used branches of it to decorate their homes during the winter solstice, as it made them think of the spring to come. The Romans used fir trees, to decorate their temples at the festivals of Saturnalia. Christians used it as a sign of everlasting life with God. So the fir tree is this thing what we call a Christmas tree. The origin of mistletoe. Norse mythology recounts how the god Balder was killed using a mistletoe arrow by his rival god Holder. Druid rituals use mistletoe to poison their human sacrificial victim. The Christian custom of kissing under the mistletoe is a later synthesis of a sexual license of Saturnalia with the Druid sacrificial cult. So that used to be a fertility ritual, or kissing under the mistletoe. The origin of the Christmas presents in pre-Christian Rome, that the most despised citizens to bring offerings and gifts during the Saturnalia in December and the kindlings in January. The Catholic Church gave this custom a Christian flavor by rerouting it in the supposed gift-giving of St. Nicholas. Newsweek. Christians see gift-giving as a symbolic homage to the three wise men's tribute to the baby Jesus. In the New Testament, the Magi are described as honoring the newborn Savior with valuable gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But gift-giving this time of year dates to an even older tradition. Pagans in Europe and the Middle East gave presents at several winter festivals, including Saturnalia, a Roman festival in honor of Saturn, god of agriculture, which began on December 17th. During this week-long holiday, in the cold, dark dead of winter, pagans would lift their spirits by drinking to excess and giving one another gifts, such as pottery, figurines, edible treats like fruit, nuts, and festive candles. Revelers greeted one another with a joyful Lo Saturnalia, the ancient Roman equivalent of Merry Christmas. The origin of Santa Claus. Saint Nicholas was born in Pereira, Turkey, in 270 CE, Common Era, and later became Bishop of Myra. He died in 345 CE on December 6th. He was only named a saint in the 19th century. Nicholas was among the most senior bishops who convened the Council of Nicaea in 325 CE and created the New Testament. That's when they canonized the theology of Jesus Christ being the Son of God, being holy and not just a man. So we're not going to even get into that because this is not what this show is about. In 1887, a group of sailors who idolized Nicholas moved his bones from Turkey to a sanctuary in Bari, Italy, where Nicholas supplanted a female boon-giving deity called the Grandmother, who used to fill the children's stockings with her gift. So this female deity, Nicholas replaced that deity. And this deity called the Grandmother used to fill children's stockings with gifts. So that was assigned to St. Nicholas. Members of this group gave each other gifts during a pageant they conducted annually on the anniversary of Nicholas' death, December the 6th. The Nicholas cult spread north until it was adopted by German and Celtic pagans. These groups worshipped the pantheon led by Woden, the chief god and the father of Thor, Balder, and Twi. Woden had a long white beard and rode a horse through the heavens one evening each autumn. When Nicholas merged with Woden, he shed his Mediterranean appearance, grew a beard, mounted a flying horse, rescheduled his flight for December, and donned heavy winter clothing. The pagan adherence to Northern Europe and the Catholic Church adopted the Nicholas cult and taught that he did and they should distribute gifts on December 25th instead of December the 6th. So, in 1809, the novelist Washington Irving, famous for the legend of Sleepy Hollow and Rip Van Winkle, wrote a satire that refers several times to the white-bearded flying horse riding St. Nicholas using his Dutch name, Santa Claus. So that's how that part of Christmas came about. Many of the most popular Christian customs, including Christmas trees, mistletoe, Christmas presents, and Santa Claus, are modern incarnations of the most depraved pagan rituals ever practiced on earth. I don't know. This is this guy saying. I'm sure they have some other pagan rituals that are worse than giving gifts to somebody. Many who are excited preparing for their Christmas celebration, knowing about the holiday's real significance. If they do know the history, they often object to their celebration as nothing to do with the holiday's monstrous history and meaning. We're just having fun. So as I said previously, is it not possible that the holiday having origins in these pagan rituals, is it not possible for it to have evolved into something else, especially if people don't have knowledge of its origin? So to them, it would mean something totally different. So what do you think about that? Did it evolve from something, even though it may have its origins from things that are you know, pagan, think that it may have evolved into something that's just, I'm going to, you know, celebrate the birth of Jesus. We don't know when it was. They've been using this the 25th of December. We're going to stay with that because we're used to it. Oh, we don't care about where it came from. We're just going to use that date, you know, anyway, because it's not a bad day. It's just another date. So we'll continue to use that date, but we won't mean the same things that they meant with the things that we do. So, I mean, because you don't see people running around the street naked singing. You don't see people forcing people to, as a religious rituals, forcing people to do all types of things and sex acts and then killing them at the end of the week. You don't see any of the actual religious practices being practices on December 25th. It's more like you're going to get a little something you want, maybe a little something you need, maybe both. Maybe something you never thought you would get. You know, it's like, oh, here you go. You know, I like you. I'm looking, thinking about you. I got you a gift. You know, so is it such a bad thing that the people maybe piggy banked off of the pagan customs and they attributed it to God? Is it even a terrible thing that they even say that it's the birth of Jesus? So, I mean, if it's not the birth of Jesus and nobody really knows it, they pick another day. I mean, that could be, you could have the same kind of issue with that day corresponding with something, you know, I don't know. So the Bible, Jeremiah 10:1-4 says, "Hear what the Lord says to you, people of Israel. This is what the Lord says. Do not lean to the ways of the nations or be terrified by signs in the heavens. Though the nations are terrified by them, for the practices of the peoples are worthless. They cut a tree out of the forest, and a craftsman shapes it with his chisel. They adorn it with silver and gold. They fasten it with hammer and nail so it will not totter." Pre-existent celebration of December 25th in the pagan world. Again, we had that the Scandinavian version. The end of December in the Northern Hemisphere days are at their shortest length, and nights are their longest, identified by the pagan calendar as the winter solstice. The 12-day celebration is in honor of the pagan sex and fertility god Yule. A large single log was lit on fire and kept burning for 12 days. animal and human sacrifices are offered in fire on each of those days, while delirious sprees accompany the daily sacrifices as the drunken participants defiantly cut their bodies to establish contact with the spirits. So that's a Scandinavian celebration that took place on the 25th. It sounds kind of brutal. Then you had the Babylonian version. It was a long time before the birth of Jesus, 4 B.C. December the 25th was an important day for the Babylonians, a day of salvation, gifts, cutting tree, and decorating it, a day a lot similar to Christmas as it is celebrated today. As we know that the root of all paganism is, he says that the root of all paganism is ancient Babylon. So Nimrod got killed. The story there is Nimrod got killed at an early age, and his wife, Semiramis, rose into greatness on his account. She pronounced Nimrod as God, making herself goddess. To make things work, she bore a son and proclaimed him to be the resurrected Nimrod. The son is Tammuz. That's the resurrected Nimrod, that story. Nimrod's Elis attributed as sun god and also the god for forests. It was in his honor that the December 25th was celebrated. The Roman version is Saturnalia, which we just talked about. I'm not going to go through that again. Wikipedia says the festival of Natalis Invicti, birth of the unquenchable sun, held on December 25th, was a general festival of the sun and by no means specific to the mysteries of Mithras. So the Persian version, another pagan god from Persia identified as Mithras, was born specifically on December 25th again. Mithras was their son. Again, this is disputed by some people, the dates with that. The birth of Mithras symbolize an end to the long nights and the return of dominance of the sun. So if you live in a place where you're depending on, you're living off the earth, and winter is like almost like a death knell to you, because you're not able to reap harvest food during the winter. So I guess this whole thing about that change, if you live in that area, very, very important to these people. So, you know, I can understand why it's very important, but apparently they connected it to the heavens and the earth, which, I mean, literally it actually is connected to the heavens and the earth. But they are worshiping things in the sky and worshiping the earth. So, and that's consistent with so-called pagan religions. So to the pagan, that's correct. But to Christians and Catholics and other religions, that's incorrect. It's paganism. So, by 270 AD, the Roman Emperor Aurelian made the festival official. He set aside the traditional 7-day period from December 17th through December 24th, followed by the December 25th festival to celebrate the birth of the sun god. So, again, how December 25th got adopted to Christianity. 350 AD saw Pope Julius declaring December 25th the day that Christ was born, and it from then was celebrated by Christians worldwide. Obviously, the Pope had a good intent behind this declaration. He wanted to make it easy for the then pagan Romans to convert to Christianity. So that was the carrot Pope used to get the pagans to convert to Christianity, according to this story. This is true for many pagan festivals. They were also dubbed into Christianity after the church decided it was a good idea to do so, for they could add more people to the institution. So I give you something, and that carried out there, put real you into the religion. Origin and development. The early Christian community distinguished between the identification of the date of Jesus' birth and the liturgical celebration of the event. The actual observance of the day of Jesus' birth was long in coming. In particular, during the first two centuries of Christianity, there was strong opposition to recognizing birthdays of martyrs, or, for that matter, of Jesus. Numerous church fathers offered sarcastic comments about the pagan custom of celebrating birthdays, when in fact saints and martyrs should be honored on the days of their martyrdom, their true birthdays, from the church's perspective. That's very interesting, my dear. But this is a matter of what people think. The precise origin of assigning December 25th as the birth date of Jesus is unclear, as, if you've been listening, sounds that way through everything that I'm reading. Nobody, I don't think there's anybody that really says Jesus was born on the 25th, except for that one group of people in the early times. They thought that he was, since the Annunciation, 9 months after that, they ended up with a December 25th birthday. So the New Testament provides no clues in this regard. December 25th was first identified as the date of Jesus' birth by, listen to this, Sextus Julius Africanus. So we got all these different guys being recognized historically as people who are recognizing December and sanctioning December 25th as Jesus' birthday. In 221, and later became the universally accepted date. So, the Roman Empire that celebrated the winter solstice as symbol of the resurgence of the sun, the casting away of winter, and the heralding of the birth of spring and summer. So, that was the popular holiday at that time during the Roman Empire. I just talked about that. Saturnalia. And things like that. December 25th had become widely accepted as the date of Jesus' birth. Christian writers frequently made the connection between the rebirth of the sun and the birth of the sun, S-O-N. One of the difficulties with this new view is that it suggests a nonchalant willingness of the part of the Christian church to appropriate a pagan festival when the early church was so intent on distinguishing itself categorically from pagan beliefs and practices. So the early church peoples and leaders did not like the assimilating. A second view suggests that December 25th became the date of Jesus' birth by prior reasoning that identified the spring equinox as the date of the creation of the world, and the fourth date of creation, when the light was created, as the day of Jesus' conception, March 25th. December 25th, 9 months later, then became the date of Jesus' birth. For a long time, the celebration of Jesus' birth was observed in conjunction with his baptism, celebrated January 6th. So, sounds like we have a lot of people trying to, create a time to celebrate this joyous, thankful moment of the Jesus sacrifice, to the world, for the world. And we're not debating if Jesus actually existed or not tonight. We've just a conversation about how did the 25th become known as a celebration of Jesus' birthday. How did that occur? So for those who may not believe that Jesus exists at all, that might be listening, or you're not a Christian or a Catholic or anything like that. You don't have to be to observe the information here, because if we're going to take an account, did exist, and is who he said he is, who the books say he is, Son of God, born, died on the cross for mankind. We're not arguing that. We're just trying to have a conversation about how did December 25th become, you know, seen as his birthday, and is it, is there a connection between pagan rituals, right? Ancient pagan rituals and the celebration, and how we celebrate in contemporary time the Jesus' birthday, right down to the actual birth date. So I just don't want anyone just to think that this is a question anybody's faith, but we are questioning how did December 25th become the date that Christians and people under the Christian umbrella chose to celebrate at the birth of Jesus, you know. And even so, why are you celebrating the birth of Jesus is another question I guess we could ask, because I don't see where anybody's instructed to celebrate the birth date of Jesus, where there is that, you know, anywhere. I haven't read every page in the Bible, but I can't recall anybody in it, Jesus saying it, I'll celebrate my birthday. So, anyway. So, Christmas began to be widely celebrated with a specifically in the 9th century, but did not attain the importance of either Good Friday or Easter or the other two Christian holidays. Roman Catholic churches celebrate the first Christmas Mass at midnight. The Protestant churches have increasingly held Christmas candlelight service late on the evening of December 24th. A special service of lessons and carols intertwines Christmas carols with scripture readings narrating salvation history from the fall in the Garden of Eden to the coming of Christ. The service, inaugurated by E.W. Benson and adopted at the University of Cambridge, has become widely popular. From Church Pop 2016, the editor says, the problem is that it's completely false. These pagan figures, most of whom are mythical, either weren't born on December the 25th or we don't know when they were born. It says, for example, Horus was believed to have been born in the summer. No one knows when Zoroaster, Z-O-R-O-A-S-T-R, was born. But he is remembered as part of the New Year festival in Iran. In March, Krishna's birthday is celebrated in Austin in August. There is no specific holiday for Adonis. The same goes for Hermes, etc. He said, there isn't any solid evidence that Christians chose December 25th to celebrate Christmas as a way of Christianizing pagan holidays. That's what the editor of Church Pop is saying in 2016. Wikipedia said, it is often stated that Mithras was thought to have been born on December 25th. This is not the case. Horus' birth was celebrated in the so-called Epigomenal Days, a four-day festival period in the Egyptian calendar which fall between August 24th and 28th, not December. The festival of Natalis Invicti, born of the unquenchable sun, was held on December 25th. was a general festival of the sun and by no means specific to the mysteries of Mithras. So we have so that's the second festival that occurred on the 25th of December, along with the one, the Babylonian observation of the rebirth of the sun, Nimrod and Tammuz, which goes on. Cronus, from the Hebrew roots, neglected commandments and adultery. Cronus is an alias for Tammuz. Tammuz was Nimrod's reborn alias. His son, his wife and mother, was Rhea or Semiramis, Egyptian and Babylonian antiquities recognized his mother as Semiramis, and his birthday is celebrated on the 25th of December. So here we so this guy is saying that that some of the dates, because some people say that, as I think I mentioned earlier, that 25th of December is the birthday of a host of pagan deities. So I know this may be a touchy subject, but it's, as far as academia is concerned, it's an excellent subject. So maybe as Christians, it's not an observance of the actual birth date, but a symbolic observance in some cases. You know, cause, you know, again, it's, who knows if some of these other birth dates are symbolic birth dates, or who knows if they're actual birth dates for actual beings or mythical beings' birth dates, actual birth dates for mythical beings. You know, so you have to go do your homework for all that. That is not a one-hour show. That is probably a year-long research project to get into all of that. But I'm just throwing it out there, you know. The Antichrist 666 says, in Babylonian mythology, December 25th is the birthday of the son of Nimrod, Tammuz, known as the son of the sun, or the pagan god child Baal-Berith, which means Lord of the Fir Tree. So as the young lady said earlier, God made the tree. So if one who is a pagan uses a tree, a fir tree, as a symbol of their pagan ritual, does that make a fir tree, does that contaminate the fir tree? Does it make it, you know, un-Christian-like to use a fir tree, or to do some of the same things they do with a tree? Cut the tree down, put it in your house, dress it up, put all gifts underneath it. Exactly what they did with their tree. So, but if you're doing it for a different purpose, what is the, because the intent is different? Is it, you know, other than harm, than harming the forest by cutting down a tree for one day or one week, what is the spiritual, where's the spiritual decadence in, you know, having a tree, putting gifts under it, you know? You know, not good to cut a tree down for one day just to set it up in your house. If it happens, you know, for, you know, that's a lot of trees being cut down. And trees provide a service for the mankind. So the Christmas tree, the pagans believe their gods became trees. So again, it said Jeremiah talks about people who you know, deck the tree and cautions, you know, us about, you know, that type of behavior. Again, they said they adorn it with silver and gold. They fasten it with hammer and nails so it will not fall. So if you have a Christmas tree in your house, does that mean that you're following a pagan tradition? If you don't know you're following a pagan tradition, does it mean you're following a pagan tradition if you've heard it and you do it anyway? does it mean that you're following a pagan tradition even though you don't believe in the pagan tradition, even though the whole concept of what you're doing with the tree comes from paganism, but you're not actually participating in the rituals because you're purchasing gifts from the store, put them in the tree, you're purchasing decorations, decorating the tree, and things like that. So, what do we think? You know, do you think that practice should be allowed from Christian practice? Or you think that it has evolved into something else like the pagan rituals, but very unlike the pagan rituals? What do you think? Anybody have any comments about that besides me and the writers that I'm getting this information from? What do you think? So if, let's just say, based on this information, that a lot of Christian practices have an origin or a similarity in paganism to pagan rituals, are you being a pagan or are you, you know, going against your Christian belief to have a tree in your house to worship Jesus' birthday on the 25th of December? Because it's definitely a pagan holiday. It's not Jesus' birthday at all. And that's one thing that they agree upon, that he's not born on the 25th of December. Whoever's birthday is not the 25th of December. So the fact that it's celebrated on the 25th of December appears to be because of this assimilation, horse and carrot assimilation of the pagans of Rome and other peoples into the then developing and growing Christian umbrella. So they took these traditions and they tried to, you know, change them. They took the traditions and they took what was harmless or appeared to be harmless and kept those things. That's why you have, instead of heads on the Christmas tree, you have bulbs. Instead of gold, instead of gifts that you stole or took from somebody that you annihilated, you go purchase gifts, put them under the tree, someone gets them. So is that indicative of the evolution of this holiday? So German pagans believe that God transformed themselves into trees. They promised their God that if they were granted victory, that they would give their God all the spoils of battle. They took the dead victims of and spoils of war to a sacred grove and hung them on or their heads on sacred trees. This begot the origin of hanging ornaments from Christmas trees. So anybody's ever hung an ornament on a Christmas tree has ever associated that with a head? Mistletoe. Aryan people believe that the oak tree was a symbol of Zeus or Jupiter, and that a branch that grew out of the tree was mistletoe, and to be kissed under the mistletoe would ensure fertility. Yuletide. Yule means child and child day. The pagan Egyptians and Persians observed December 25th as the birth of their God. We said that. Hot cross buns. We mentioned that earlier. The gate of Astar of Babylon is named after the Queen of Heaven. A custom they observed yearly was to make cakes or buns with a symbol of a cross to respect the Queen of Heaven and give honor to her son, Tumas. This custom was condemned by God in Jeremiah 7:18. So, is the condemnation the making of the bun or making of the bun in honor of the queen of heaven. We show respect to the queen of heaven because, you know, making of a cake, you know, I don't think that's a sin, but it's the ritual that appears to become problematic with in the scriptures with God. So it appears that the 25th of December has its origins in pagan rituals. But as I said earlier, people who celebrate Christmas appear to be celebrating as the pagans did. They're not, but they have similar customs to that of the pagans, which is very interesting. So, I don't know. That's something for debate, which I'm sure they've already done it, because as I'm talking about it, I'm sure it's been talked about 1,000 times since Constantine and before. So people appear to be celebrating as an expression of the observance, connection, and appreciation of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Maybe there is no connection to the Christian, connection to the Christmas, to ancient pagan religious practices, consciously to some people. You know, they have disconnected from that, and their connection to these practices, even if they have evolved from these pagan rituals, have evolved into something that looks like it. That looks like it came from that, without all the blood and guts and the, and you know, stuff that's going on back in there, as I read to you. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank our caller. And I know it's a very difficult subject, especially around this time of the year, Christmas, about, you know, right around the corner and everything like that. I want to tell everybody to have a safe holiday, the 25th, and New Year's. And matter of fact, as someone said to me, have a safe day, period, because every day could be dangerous. Any day could be your last day. So have a safe and blessed day. And again, I want to thank Mr. Jones for allowing me to host the show. I want to thank the Creator for allowing me to be. And I want to thank my parents and my supporters who listen to the show and don't mind me going on a rant sometimes. Until next time. Good night.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
God said he wants Devontae Davis.